In Daniel chapter 6, if you would turn your Bibles. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then as Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find an occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find none occasion nor fruit, or fault rather, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign writing that it be now not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. "Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." Then answered they and said before the king, "That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree which thou hast signed, but maketh a petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then the men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might be not changed according to Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting, and neither were instruments of music brought before him, and he slept, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he had come to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou havest service continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Then said Daniel unto the king, "O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him in innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king, exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and so no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, and them and their children and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, and ever they came out of the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion in my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is a living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, and who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reigns of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. And Father, help us to be encouraged by your word and to see the power that you have, because you are King of kings and Lord of lords, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all. And Father, you hear and answer prayers. You are the one who judges the righteous and the unrighteous. And Father, you shall give men their due. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us through your word this afternoon. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to give you a little bit of background as far as Darius and what was going on here. First of all, Cyrus was the king over the Medes and the Persians. He was the ruler over the whole kingdom. The kingdom of the Medes and Persians was extremely large. There were 20 provinces that Cyrus had set up. Each one of these provinces acted like similar to what a state would be in the United States of America. And every state or province, as Darius called them, province, had their own ruler that he established over it. The ruler that he had established over the area of Babylon, which had been conquered by the Medes and Persians and taken away from Belteshazzar in our last study, was given to a ruler. And the ruler in the scripture is called Darius. Now, most Bible scholars believe that Darius was a title rather than a person's name, and that Darius would have been the one, and the word Darius means the one who holds the scepter. So he was, Darius would be the one who held the scepter over this portion of the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, the old area of Babylon. What Darius did is he took and he established three underlings that were immediately under him called presidents, and Daniel was one of those three. And then under them, he established another group of men, and these were 120 princes that were rulers underneath these three presidents, and then these three presidents answered to Darius. And so this is the way that the government was spread out, so that the people could rule, and no one person was overwhelmed with everything that they had to do. Now, as you see this, Daniel finds great favor in the eyes of Darius, because he is full of wisdom. The wisdom that he has is from the Lord, and God gives him favor in the eyes of Darius. And Darius, along with Cyrus, determine that they're going to make Daniel the one who is over all the kingdom right underneath Darius, and that everyone, including the other two presidents, will have to answer to Daniel. Now, this, as you can see, doesn't, from the text we read, doesn't make the 100 and some princes very happy, and it really doesn't make the other two presidents happy, because they don't want to answer to Daniel. And aside from that, One must also look at the fact that throughout history, Satan has always come against the Jewish people because he desires to destroy that which God loves. God loved Daniel because Daniel was obedient to him. He was an Israelite, but he loved the Lord. And he served God even in the midst of the difficult situations that he continually found himself in. When he was in Babylon, he served the Lord in the midst of the kingdom of Babylon. And God blessed him there and raised him to a position of leadership. And it's very, very unusual that when a kingdom is conquered, you would take someone who was in leadership of the previous kingdom and place them not only in leadership, but place them in one of the three highest positions of leadership in the succeeding kingdom, which was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Yet that's exactly what Darius had done. And Satan, hating the Jewish people, there's more than just the political aspect to this. One needs to also look at the underlying spiritual aspect that Satan wants Daniel totally out of the way. He's tired of having to fight against righteous men. And he really inspires these people to come up with this plan. Now, if you look at this plan, it's very interesting, the plan that they come up with. The Medes and the Persians, when they established a law, the law could not be changed. That's the way that the Medes and the Persians had established their government. So once you had to think very carefully, it was designed, I believe, partially to help people to think very carefully before they put something into law, because it couldn't be changed. And so consequently, the underlings knew all of this. They knew what the law of the Medes and the Persians was, that you couldn't change it. What they did is they went to Darius, the holder of the scepter, and they flattered him. And they lifted him up, extolled him, and said, "Live forever, O King." And you're the only, really what they were saying is, you're the only one that should be listened to. And so in order to get people to listen to you, and in order to get people to look to you, let's make it so that nobody can ask anything of any other man or God for 30 days. Now, why did they do this? Well, Daniel was very open with his faith. He didn't hide it from people. Unlike sometimes what we or I can do is someone will come and maybe I'll know that they could cause me a problem. And so it's very easy not to really talk about the Lord the way you should or to live the life that you should before someone to try and conceal your Christianity. I remember a number of years ago there was somebody who came out with a little song, and it talked about, "Are you an undercover Christian?" And the challenge was, have you really living your life for the Lord the way you should, or are you an undercover Christian? An undercover Christian would be someone that nobody knows is a Christian because they don't let their faith be shown. And they go about acting like they're in the world, but they really believe in the Lord, but they're really not doing God's will, and they're really not being honoring to the Lord. Daniel was not an undercover Christian. Daniel let his faith be out where everyone could see it. Now, Daniel lived in a position, in a place in the city that was evidently very prominent, as you would expect, of someone who was in a position of leadership. Daniel, all he had to do was close the windows and pray, and nobody would have known he was praying. But he opened the windows three times a day, and he looked towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem would have been to the east and south of Babylon, or to the west, rather, I'm sorry, to the west and north of Babylon, getting my directions mixed up. And we see that he would open up his window and he would pray towards Jerusalem. He'd face Jerusalem and he'd pray three times a day. Now these underlords and these other two presidents knew exactly what Daniel was doing. He was praying to his God. They also knew that there was no way that they would ever get him to violate a law that would cause Darius to have to deal with him, where he violated some law and disobeyed Darius. They knew the only thing they could do was get somehow the law that he, of his God that he was obedient to use that against him. And that's exactly what they did. That's how they came up with this deal where no one should pray or ask intercession or request anything of man or God for 30 days. And Daniel, they went and they also lied when they presented this to the king. How do you know they lied? Well, it says, O king, you know, all the lords, all the princes, all the presidents, we've all been in consultation, we all think that we should do this. The only problem is that there was one president who wasn't there, and that was Daniel. He was not there with them when they came up with this. How do I know that? Because Daniel never, ever would have gone along with this, that you can't, he couldn't pray to God for 30 days and then allowing Darius to make it a law. He wouldn't have done it. So he wasn't there. This was a conspiracy against him to try and destroy him and remove him from his office. As I was reading this and I'm looking at what's going on in our nation today, I'm going, wow, there's a lot of similarities of what's happened. You have, in our own nation, you had a president who was doing everything he promised he would do. The first president that I can remember in my lifetime that made promises to the people that elected him and then went out and fulfilled all of those promises. He did everything possible to look out for the well-being of the nation, the people, and to make, as in his own words, to make America great again, and he was doing it. But yet he had those that hated him for the very thing that he was doing. And what they did is they conspired against him. And they made up things and lied about him to try and remove him so he could no longer have an impact on our country. That's exactly what these people were doing to Daniel. They wanted him out of the way. They wanted him not to have an impact. And I believe part of it is because of the ungodliness of their lives and the ungodliness of their character. They didn't want anything to do with a man who was seeking God. And I don't know where our current, where our former president, Trump, is with the Lord. God knows where he is. All I can see is that there's been a difference in his life since he started as president to where he is today. And all I know is that he was doing more godly things than any other president had ever done. Like, for example, coming against abortion in a way that no other president had ever come against abortion. Standing up for the rights of people. Helping people, minority people, and those that were in need to get what they needed to make a life for themselves. And doing all kinds of things in those areas. He also did more for churches and Christians than any other president had ever done. For our religious freedoms and our ability to worship and pray and come to the Lord in a manner that no other president had ever done, where we could have the freedom to do that under our Constitution and enforcing it. Well, there were those that didn't like that either. And guess what? Those people were ungodly people. They didn't. They loved death. They wanted abortion. They wanted your religious freedoms gone. They wanted your other freedoms gone. And they realized the only way that they could do that is to get rid of President Trump. Now, what these men did is they determined that the only way that they could get Daniel's influence out was to get Daniel out of the way. Because the longer Daniel stayed, the more favor he gained in the eyes of Darius the king, the ruler over Babylon. Darius, as I mentioned as we read the text, was ready to place him over the other two presidents and over everyone and only be in answer to Darius and Cyrus. In other words, Daniel would have had basically the very thing that he had rejected from Belteshazzar, that he would be the third in the rule of over the kingdom. Darius was going to give him that and for basically living his life in obedience to God and being a godly man, giving godly counsel and godly wisdom. And so that's the reason that Darius was going to give it to him. The other people didn't want it to happen. So what did they do? They conspired against him. They went to Darius. Darius foolishly declares that this is a decree, a law, that no one for 30 days can pray to any other god, to ask intercession of any god or any man, except it be to Darius the king. That's the only one that you can come and ask for help. And as the no more has he done this, then within the next, it's not like Daniel waits until the 29th day before he opens up his shutters and begins to pray. No, the very next time it's time for Daniel to pray, the shutters go open, he faces Jerusalem, and he cries out to the Lord. And you can imagine these people are just waiting there for Daniel to do this, because they know now we have got him. And so they immediately run to Darius. They go to Darius and they say, "We come to you, O king, because did not you make a decree that no one could ask for help of any god or man except you for 30 days? And we've just come from Daniel and we've seen he is praying to his God. And the law is something you cannot change." Now, Darius is sick, he's ill. Literally, I believe he became physically ill because he realized what he's done. He is condemned to death, the man that he respects the most. And there is no way, unless his God delivers him, that Daniel is going to survive. Now, to describe the lion's den, what they do is they would have lions. They wouldn't feed them for a period of time before they wanted to give somebody to them to become the feed. They wouldn't feed them for some days. And then what they would do is they had a pit, and the lions were placed in the pit. There is a hole at the top of the pit. As we see here, there's a stone that's placed over the hole so that there is no way out of the pit. Once you are lowered into the pit with these lions, there's no way out of the pit. You're lowered in with hungry lions that are wild beasts, and your chances of coming out of there are virtually non-existent. Once you're lowered into the pit, you are dead. Darius knows that this is the fate of Daniel unless his God intervenes. Now, it's amazing. Daniel's faithfulness and willingness to even go to his death had a dramatic impact on Darius. Darius, all of a sudden, is praying to God, and he's fasting and praying, and he's crying out to the true God, the one, the only God that can deliver Daniel. And he cries out and asks and pleads with him, "Please deliver Daniel." Not only does he not sleep all night, he doesn't have music, he doesn't have anyone come in, and all night, literally, he's crying out to Daniel's God. The next morning, as soon as the sun arises, as soon as the end of the decree of being cast into the lion's den is able to be the stone taken off that's been placed over it with a seal placed on, is the next day. So at daylight, the minute daylight comes up, it's the next day. Darius runs out to the lion's den, and what does he do? He cries out to Daniel, "Has your God delivered you?" And Daniel replies, "May you live forever, O king." And Darius is thrilled with what he hears, because Daniel's God has miraculously delivered him. There's no way that this could have happened, yet it did, because God is the God of all of his creation. He's the God of all of his nature, and God can cause things to happen. I've heard of other incidents of people that have been preserved miraculously from death because God desired that they continued to live for his glory, and their prayers were answered and people were delivered. Think of one incident that I heard of, a man who was in Russia. He was a Christian in Russia. They wanted to kill him, so they took him in an airplane, threw him out of the airplane. Should have meant immediate death. He landed. He did not die on landing, but he was injured. It was the middle of the winter in the Siberia region of Russia. And there appeared to be no, if he wasn't going to die of his injuries, he'd die of being exposed to the elements. All of a sudden, in the man's account, a giant bear appeared. The bear came walking over to him. He thought, well, I won't die of my injuries, I won't die of a cold, I'll be eaten and killed by this bear. Instead, the bear laid down beside him and surrounded him and kept him warm through the night. The next day, the man was able to get up. He walked over to some trees that he saw in the distance, and he saw there some men around the campfire, and he was delivered and saved. Does God do miraculous things? Can God do things that are unexplainable? The answer is yes, he can. There's been other accounts of really angels that have come and intervened at God's command in people's lives. Here we know that there was an angel. It could have very well been the Lord Jesus himself that came and communed with Daniel. But he was supernaturally preserved. I want you to see that God also understands and judges wickedness. Sometimes wickedness doesn't get judged in the manner and the time in which we want it to see it be judged, but it will be judged. Here, all of these men that had conspired against Daniel, these very same men were taken, and the thing that they had desired to have done to Daniel was done to them. But not only to them, but to their families, to their wives and their children as well. And God dealt with the wickedness. If you look at the account of Esther in the book of Esther, you see that the same thing happened with Mordecai and Haman. Haman had a plot how he was going to get rid of Mordecai because Mordecai found favor in the king's eyes. And Haman hated Jews. He desired to kill all the Jews, and he really hated Mordecai because Mordecai found favor in the king's eyes. And Haman had a scaffold and a gallows being built to hang Mordecai on. And then all of a sudden Esther asks Mordecai to come to a feast. Mordecai is thrilled because he gets invited by the queen to come to a feast. Haman gets invited to this feast. And as Haman goes to the feast, he thinks he's the guest of honor. And when he gets there, then Queen Esther tells the king, this is the man that desires to kill all of the Jews, and I'm a Jew, as well as his plans for Mordecai. God judged Haman. Haman was hanged on his own gallows that he had built for Mordecai. I want you to see that God is in control. God knows what he's doing. And God can and will deliver his people according to his desires and his word. And we see here that those that sought so much to destroy Daniel were the ones that ended up being destroyed. Now, how does that apply today? I don't know what's going to happen but all I can see is that there's all kinds of wickedness and evil that is being done in our land right now. And God can choose to come against it. I don't know if he will or not, but I knew that he has the power to do it. Because he did it with Daniel. He did it with Mordecai. And even if he doesn't come against the wicked and evil that's in our land now, there's a day that it will be come against. And that is the thing that we always need to remember, that God is in control and God is a judge who is a just judge, and wickedness will not prevail. When I hear things like, if you're a Christian, you need to be sent to a re-education camp, and until you are willing to come and think like we think, that is very disturbing to me, and I believe it's very disturbing to the Lord. And I think that we need to be in prayer that God would deal with people and change their hearts and attitudes. We need to pray for those that are wicked, that God would mercifully save them and turn their hearts to him. And then also that he would deal with the wickedness and the wicked ideas that Satan has. I just thought it was very interesting as you begin to look at the story of Daniel in light of what's happening in our country. We have hope because we serve the God that's in control. And what appears to be is not always what it is. And our God is the one who hears and answers prayers. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to look to you and call on your name and to seek to honor and to glorify you, even as Daniel did. Even when he knew that by doing it, he would face what appeared to be certain death. Yet he did not stop calling on your name and calling out to you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one little thought at the end, too, that I didn't bring out, that I don't know if you caught at the end, but Darius made a decree to all the nations that he had influence over that they serve the God of Daniel and acknowledge that he was the only true God. Daniel had a tremendous impact for people. So let's just turn to the song, Dare to Be a Daniel, hymn number 512 in the old books. 512 in the old books.